First Kent, first chapter, text 40. What is it, 44 or 45? 45. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Yena yavan yata dharmo dharmo veha samihitaha sa eva tat palang bhunte tata tavan amutra vai yena yavan yata dharmo dharmo veha samihitaha sa eva tat palang bhunte tata tavad amutravai yena yavanyata dharmo dharmo veha samihitaha sa eva tat palang bhunte tata tavad amutravai yena yavan yata dharmo dharmo veha samihitaha sa eva tat palang bhunte tata tavad amutravai. Please check. Yena yavan yata dharmo tata tavada mutravai. Vaishnavis, yena yavan yata dharmo dharmo veha samihitaha sa eva tat palam bhunte tata tavada mutravai samihitaha sa eva tat palam bhunte synonyms yena by which person yavan, to which extent, yata, in which manner, adharmaha, irreligious activities, dharmaha, religious activities, va, or, iha, in this life, samihitaha, performed, saha, that person, eva, indeed, tat palam, the particular result of that, bhunte, enjoys or suffers, tata, in that way, tavat, to that extent, amutra, in the next life, vai, indeed. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse, in proportion to the extent of one's religious or irreligious actions in this life, one must enjoy or suffer the corresponding reactions of his karma in the next. Please repeat. In proportion to the extent of one's religious or irreligious actions in this life, one must enjoy or suffer the corresponding reactions of his karma in the next. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, text 18, Urdvang gachanti satasta madhe tishtanti rajasaha chaganya guna vrittista ado gachanti tamasaha. Those who act in the mode of goodness are promoted to higher planetary systems to become demigods. Those who act in an ordinary way and do not commit excessively sinful acts remain within this middle planetary system. And those who perform abominable sinful actions must go down to hellish life. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshtarne Om Agyana Tamarandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shtapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutakapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raganathan Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitam Sha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namoste Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha kalpaturubhyascha kripasindhuve evacha patitanang pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktivedanta. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I think the majority of us in this room were raised in some kind of Judeo-Christian tradition, in which we learn an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. In other words, there is someone witnessing your activities. Otherwise, how could this exact judgment be meted out? So it's a little bit bewildering that this Dr. Urquhart that Prabhupada refers to in his years at Scottish Church's College, how he could have asked such a question. When this business of karma came up, he said, well, I understand how somebody who, you know, is caught and then they're punished, judged based on what they've done. But who was the witness from your previous life? And that's why Prabhupada referred to this incident in a few verses back when the list of witnesses were given by the Yamadutas. Kanku, you know, the sky, the air, and the water, the land, the sun, moon. So many witnesses are there. Whereas, as Prabhupada said in his purport, where is there a dearth or a lack, in other words, of witnesses? There's so many witnesses to everything that you do. So this has been further elucidated here. That yena, by which person, yavan, to which extent, yata, in which manner. All of these things are being witnessed. The person, the extent to which they acted, and the manner in which they acted. Everything is being noted down. So there is no escape. Very exact reaction will be there. No mistakes. So this eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth is very comforting when somebody has done something to us. We want them to get exact payment. But when we do something, well, you know, we want to be excused. We want to be excused. So in the Lord's Prayer that most of us learn in Christianity, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. A very, very important concept in that prayer. We're asking God to forgive us our mistakes, and we're promising that we're going to forgive mistakes that people make to us. This is the Christian creed. You know, turn the other cheek, don't get angry. But in practice, we see it doesn't really happen that way. Majority of people are not on that platform. Just the opposite. They tend to escalate, right? If you step on somebody's toe, they want to kick you. If you kick them, they want to punch you. If you punch them, they want to stab you. If you stab them, they want to shoot you. Like that. They want to escalate. Nobody wants to detenuate. Nobody wants to bring the fever down. Everybody wants is very quick to escalate. So it's an important concept for us to understand that if we want to be forgiven by Krishna for our mistakes, which we inevitably make in social interaction, in seva, that's why there are so many list of aparad, seva aparad, nama aparad, dhamma aparad, Vaishnava aparad, so many things are there. And we know that in spite of our best intention, we still commit mistakes in this regard. And so we want Krishna always to forgive us. So we should always be in this mood of forgiving others for their mistakes that inevitably happen and pinch us. Not so easy to do, though, especially in Kali Yuga. Because in Kali Yuga, the atmosphere is full of disturbance. We are always disturbed. And those disturbances are manifold, divided into three categories, as you know, adhyatmika, adbhautika, and adaivik. But on a moment-to-moment basis, we're being bombarded with disturbances. I've lived now in this block non-stop. First came here in 75, and then moved on to other temples, and came back here non-stop since 95. 95, yeah. And, you know, it gets worse. Back in the 70s, when I first came in 75, spring, it was actually pretty peaceful around here in this community, this area. It was pretty. Venice Boulevard was only two lanes on both sides. There was a huge island in between both sides of traffic, you know, with these tall palm trees, and it was actually pretty peaceful. Dr. Bhutra's office was the BBT, and we were working there practically nonstop. As you know, Prabhupada was flogging us and driving us to produce his books. And you get a few minutes break and go outside, and you can actually stand on Venice Boulevard and not be bombarded like you are now. Now you go to this corner, it's like nonstop sirens and motorcycles, and it's like nonstop, 24/7, we're being bombarded with external disturbances. And then that creates internal disturbance. Then the mind is not peaceful, and therefore we tend to take it out on each other. If I'm not feeling peaceful internally, and then you look at me the wrong way or step on my toe accidentally, then I want to slap you, because I'm not peaceful inside. So the Vaishnavis are supposed to be the emblems of tolerance and peacefulness. We should actually make, you know, famous Christians who are famous for being tolerant, we should make them look ordinary. That's the level of advancement Vaishnavas should emulate, should exude, they should present to the public. This, and not artificially, but because one is actually peaceful inside. One is actually peaceful inside from being advanced in spiritual consciousness. So this is one of the things that Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj embodied. Namo Gaur Kishoraya Sakshat Vairagya Muntraye. He was the embodiment of detachment from material external activities and problems. You know, we see problems. He didn't see any problem, but externally, he used to maintain himself by taking cloth that was discarded from dead bodies. That was his cloth. No problem there. Nobody's going to begrudge a person who's taking cloth left over from wrapping dead bodies. And who's going to begrudge such a person? Generally, the tendency in the Hindu community is when there is an eclipse, the pots are considered contaminated, so they would throw such pots away. So then he would take such pots, clean them, and use them for his cooking. Again, who's going to begrudge a person like that? So, absolutely not disturbed by any externals and social conventions and stuff like that. Sometimes he would be wrapped in these discarded cloth, and sometimes he would go naked. We don't recommend anybody here do that, but this was his level of detachment, natural. Again, now there are many personalities who would try to imitate this level of detachment. Oh, such and such Babaji is famous, and he's living in a cottage somewhere. Okay, so let me, a little bhajan kutir, so let me construct also a little bhajan kutir and copy this person, and then I will be known as a great devotee. No, that was not his motivation. Vipralamba rasambode, padam ojayate namaha. Vipralamba means this mood of separation, service of separation from Krishna. So this is the mood of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and all the exalted Vaishnavas. They're in this mood of, first of all, seva. They're serving Krishna, not worrying about where is my, you know, retirement money going to come from, where is this going to come from, where is that going to come from. They're not worried like that. Simply engaged in seva, 24/7. And not just seva in the mood of separation from Krishna. That Krishna, you're the Lord of my life, but If you embrace me or keep me away, that's up to you. I'm going to serve you anyway. And in this mood of separation, this is the highest rasa. They're experiencing the highest taste. Then they are an ocean of such taste. And those who take shelter of them begin to gradually appreciate and taste themselves. So we have a lot to learn from Gaurakishwara's Babaji Maharaj. Apparently, he was Bhajananandi. Not just Bhajananandi, but practicing Nirjan Bhajan. Nirjan Bhajan means not mixing, not looking for any company or followers or fame or anything like that. Far as possible, keeping the public away. Although that was very difficult to do. Because, when you're genuinely on that platform of spiritual advancement, people tend to seek you out for their own benefit. Not necessarily to serve you and make spiritual advancement, but for their own benefit. Once one personality asked Gaurakishwara Das Babaji Maharaj that how to tell who is an advanced Vaishnava, because it's sometimes it's not easy to do. It's not easy to do that. There's a verse from the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu that's quoted in the Madhya Lila Vichaitanya Charitamrita, that even the most learned scholars find it very difficult to understand a personality in whose heart love of God has already fructified, because they don't act in ways that we may consider normal. It's not so easy. So Gaurakishwara Das Babaji replied. He told a story of one Babaji in Vrindavan who was generally advanced personality, very, very advanced, and to the point where people were calling him a Siddha Babaji, somebody who has already realized their eternal position. And so the public were coming and, trying to get blessings, and streams of people were coming to the point where he became very disturbed, and then he just decided. And that disturbance, again, is not like our disturbance where we're disturbed by sirens going by and stuff. Sometimes by their own free will, or being prompted by the super soul, such a great personality may decide they just want to stop. They want to stop this public exposure. So he came to that point. And what he did was, this is Gaurakishwara Das Babaji telling the story, that he took some money from one of his supporters, well-wishers you could say. Normally they're not inclined to take any money like that. But he said, okay, give me some stipend. You send every month so much money. And the person agreed and sent. And with that money, he hired a young girl to sweep in front of his bhajan kutir. So then the public was thinking, oh, what is this? He's supposed to be Siddha Babaji and he's having company of young girl. He must have fallen down. And gradually they stopped coming. They stopped disturbing him. So it's very difficult to understand the activities of a highly advanced personality. Sometimes they may act in ways that are attractive and pleasing, and sometimes they may do things that seem to be against principles. But this is just for keeping the public away, for getting to the point again of not being disturbed. So Gaurakishwara Das Babaji Maharaj, he was like that. Couldn't figure him out. Couldn't figure him out. He did not act necessarily in a way that was conventional. Actually, just the opposite. He was practically always unconventional in his activities. But those who knew him, those who actually wanted to advance spiritually and therefore came in the right mood, quickly realized that even though he was supposed to be illiterate, supposedly could not read, the essence of all shastras could be explained by him on a moment's notice. He just knew everything. He knew the conclusions of the scriptures and could present them in a very lucid and attractive way. And for that reason, those who were advanced just relished his company, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Technically, he was the godbrother of Gaurakishwara Das Babaji's Diksha Guru, but he saw him more as a friend. So Gaurakishwara Das Babaji Maharaj would come and listen to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he would just relish that. And he spent so much time at Bhaktivinoda Thakur's compound there near Mayapur, other side of Jalangi from our property, Mayapur property, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur built him a little bhajan kutir right there on the property, and he stayed there for quite some time. It is also stated that after he moved to Nabadweep area, Kulia I think is the name of the place where he was staying in Nabadweep, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife, Srimati Bhagavati Devi, and the second daughter, what was her name again? We'll come back to me. Anyway, They used to go regularly to visit Gaurakishordas Mahapuja Maharaj to take darshan. And then one day he just said, "Why are you here?" He said, "The internal associate of Lord Chaitanya is at your home. And the best way to keep him is to go there and chant pure Harinam, as pure as possible. Otherwise he may leave very soon." So he was always conscious of everything that was going on, even though he may not have exhibited that at every moment. He was very conscious of everything that was going on around him and all the different personalities that were coming and going. For those who were a little bit serious, he told them the best thing is just to do your utmost to chant Harinam purely, to really absorb yourself in this chanting of Hare Krishna. Forget about everything else. And this was the example that he set, that why get entangled with what's going on in this material world? Just fix your mind at the lotus feet of Krishna, lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Chant Harinam as purely as possible. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam. He was also fond of hearing the songs of Narottam Das Thakur. So he had a little book, Partan, a collection of Narottam songs. Practically one of the few things that he had in his possession. So just absorb yourself. We don't find that so easy to do, most of us, because again, we're distracted. We've allowed ourselves to maintain attraction for what the mature world has to offer. But the example set by Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj and other exalted souls like that is, don't become entangled. Of course, some of the exalted souls like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, like Srila Prabhupada, showed another side, that you can be in this world but not of this world. You can operate apparently just like everybody else. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as you know, was a magistrate going to office every day. So it looked, from the external outside, it looked like he was just like anybody else. But internally, absolutely not the same. He was always fixed in his consciousness, Krishna consciousness. So his evening was not spent in just trying to get away from his day's activities like most karmis. They work hard all day and then at night they just want to forget. Diva charte hai rajan, kutumba bharanenava, riyate, what is that? Anyway, you know the verse I'm talking about from the beginning of the second canto. That at night, simply sleeping and in sex life and daytime running around, riyate nidraya naktam, vyavayena cha bhavayam, yeah. Diva charte rajan, kutumba bharanenava. So, this is not the way of the great souls like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They worked, he worked, but his evening was spent simply hearing, chanting, writing books. So this is the evidence that he was not at all affected, just like the lotus leaf on the water, not affected by being in the water of the material world. His consciousness was strictly spiritual. So that example is there also. But the common thread is this total absorption in Krishna consciousness, hearing, chanting, remembering, and distribution of that Krishna consciousness. Apparently, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj was not externally going out to distribute Krishna consciousness, but because he was so Krishna conscious, people came to him to be enlightened and enlivened in spiritual consciousness and spiritual life. The example that we have of Srila Prabhupada is to take time to go out and distribute Krishna consciousness. That will benefit us and benefit the society at large. It will help to bring down this disturbing atmosphere that we find ourselves in. Because unless people are given a better alternative than this motor car civilization, they're not going to, they're just going to explode. This is what happens. People become so pressurized that they explode. And how many times have we heard some guy goes home and shoots up his family and the neighbors go, "I had no idea, he was such a nice man, he this and that." Because internally, they're just getting pressurized. It's like a pressure cooker. And then one day, the cork pops and hell breaks loose. So we should take that seriously, that if we want to avoid this pressurizing effect of the modern civilization, we have to absorb ourselves in Hari Bhajan. We have to absorb ourselves in making plans, as Prabhupada said. What is the use of being American if you can't do something wonderful in spreading Krishna consciousness? So we have to tax ourselves, how to improve always, or at least maintain. But maintenance is not easy. If you don't expand a little bit, then you're not going to be able to maintain. All of these projects that we have require a certain amount of manpower and intelligence, organization to run. And if we don't expand a little bit, then what happens is you decrease. And I've been, many of you probably also have been, in temples where there's crisis management going on. I've been in temples where there were just a handful of us. We had to do everything. The whole morning program, dressing, cooking, cleaning, and then going out and preaching. And then, you know, I was in Potomac Temple once, it was like that. You know, then winter would come and the whole place would ice over and you have to go out there and break your back, breaking ice so people can come and visit. Otherwise, nobody would come. Nobody would, if you can't get down the driveway, they're not going to come to the temple. So from morning till night, the handful of devotees that are there are just breaking their backs, doing everything. How can you last? You know, so we have to expand at least a little bit if we want to maintain. Because if you don't have new people coming in, then, you know, by attrition, you're going to get to the critical point where you just can't go on. So we have to be in that mood, absorbing ourselves. The Prabhupada gave us enough to absorb ourselves in so we can stay above the material fray, stay above the disturbing modern motor car civilization. So Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he was totally detached. We cannot emulate such level of detachment. Who here can, you know, go for a few hours without eating nicely? You know, we're so used to being fed nicely here in New York especially. But he would sometimes go for days without eating or just eating a little Ganges mud, you know. And again, it's not artificial. Not that he was doing this to attract some attention. And then in the end, when it was time to leave this world, he appeared in this world in the 1830s. They don't have a very exact date, but sometime in the 1830s. And he left in 1916. November 16th, 1916, if I remember correctly. So he was in his 80s. And when it was time to leave, he just decided it was time to go back to Krishna's unmanifest lila. They're always absorbed in that lila, these great souls, but we can't see it. And we see their manifest form moving around, doing this, doing that. But internally, they're always in the unmanifest lila of Krishna. They're taking part. So he just decided to go. And we know the scenario that so many Babaji's and people who had some land or temple or something, they wanted to claim the body because they knew it would attract a lot of pilgrims to come and pay their respects to the departed Vaishnava. But Bhaktisiddhanta, at the time he was Brahmachari, he came and they were saying, but he's not a renunciant, so he cannot properly perform samadhi rites. And he said, okay. There was some big ruckus, and so the constables came. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, anyone who has not had illicit connection with women in the last year, or 6 months, or 3 months, or 1 month, or even 3 days, can touch the body. Otherwise, if you touch this body, and that's not the case, then you'll be ruined. And then all of the so-called Babaji's and renunciants, they got up and left. So, he created a samadhi there in Mayapur. But gradually, because of the shifting of the course of the Ganges, the site was eroded. So they took the samadhi and took it to Vrindavan. That's where Gaurakishore Das Babaji's samadhi is right now. So we can stop here. Any questions, comments, additional points about Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj? Anybody want to recall some specific pastimes? Yes. Sachi Tanoi.
Instruct Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj not to go to Calcutta. We heard this in one class. And he didn't want him to be associated with that more materialistic society. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta went. He also told him, do not make or surround yourself with followers. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had many followers. And the explanation was given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, where he said that he was not in Calcutta, but he was living within his temples. And as far as the followers, they were sent by his Guru Maharaj. So he was in the mood of Yukta Vairagya, utilizing everything for the service of Krishna. Living in this world, but out of this world. And like that.
Yeah, that is the example that we should follow, that if we inoculate ourselves, if we carry the umbrella of Krishna consciousness, then we can move around. Just like when it rains, if you have an umbrella, you can move around and you don't get wet. So if we carry the umbrella of Krishna consciousness, hold on tight to what Srila Prabhupada has given us, then we can move around in this world and not be contaminated. But the first thing, though, is to recognize that it is a contaminating atmosphere. If we're thinking that everything is all right and I can go out and mix and mingle and do whatever and not be affected, then we're living in a fool's paradise. Papa said once, he said, anybody who thinks that they can make spiritual progress away from the association of devotees is living in a fool's paradise. You know, we can't do it on our own, obviously, and we shouldn't take unnecessary chances. Prabhupada said that preaching means risk, but manageable risk. Manageable risk. Not that I think that, oh, you know, I'm just going to move into this house of drug addicts and preach to them. And no, why take such unnecessary risks? You can preach to anybody, but come back to your base of strength in the association of devotees. But sometimes young devotees especially, they take on this, either they try to imitate, just like in Mayapur when Prabhupada was here, there was one devotee who insisted that he wanted to live like this. He wanted to live in a tree and simply chant all day and not engage in any practical service. So Prabhupada said, okay, let him do it. And he did. And he went there and he chanted for some time, and then after, I think it was a month or so, he had to give up. So you can't artificially put yourself on this platform of nirjan bhajan. It's not possible. It's not possible. We will simply fall down. So we have to just follow the rules and regulations, follow the path chalked out by the predecessor acharyas, and we will be protected. Anything else? Okay, Srila Gaura Kishordas Babaji Maharaj Ki Jai, Granth Sarva Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Oh, we forgot to mention this morning, but it is a half-day fast, so no breakfast, and lunch will be served early, 12:30 instead of 1:30.